Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Samach Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar with our system, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 14 lines from the top of Daf Samachtes, almost halfway down. Before we begin the Gemara, let's glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, where we've written Biur Shitos Rebbe Yehuda Legabi Tzeduki V'yecholto Levatel Reshuso. We're going to analyze the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, try to resolve two sources that feature Shitas Rebbe Yehuda regarding a Tzeduki and his ability or lack thereof to renounce his holding in a chotzer. Of course, we're talking about a chotzer or a movui, an alleyway where there are Jews living, and there is also this tzeduki. The tzeduki is a person whose classification is questionable. We'll say, is he considered Jewish or not, and with regard to what? For our purposes, a tzeduki is a person who does not accept the oral tradition, the Torah Shebaal Peh, and hence he is a problematic figure. We've added E Nechshav Ki Yisrael, if he is considered a Jew, then Yochol Levatel. Oy Kenochri V'eino Mevatel. We will see a quote from the Braisa we saw in our previous shiur, and a diamond appears, as you can see in the Gemara text, highlighting the word Ad, and then the Gemara will quote from our Mishnah, from Samach Aleph from the Beis, where we've also highlighted the word Ad, and we've noted under the Mivne heading Havlotas Hastira Ben HaBraisa LeMishnah Seinu Leil Samach Aleph Amud Beis. We're going to use this to highlight the seeming contradiction, and later we will then resolve it. The Gemara. Omar, a quote from that which we saw before in our previous year. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beloshon Acheres. Rabbi Yehuda reported the story involving Rabbi Gamliel in a different version from that of Rabbi Meir. And he said that with regard to the tzeduki that was Mevatel, his Rishus, Mahruva Su Tzorchechem B'movui At Sheloi Techshach V'yasar Alechem. Take care of whatever you have to do before Shabbos sets in. Because if you don't, then the bittul, the supposed bittul, if you will, of the tzeduki has no effect. And when he carries things out into the mavui, so his very presence there imposes a prohibition. In other words, according to this approach, he doesn't have bittul. Bittul of a tzeduki is not effective. So that if you have any needs to carry things in and out of your house to the Movui, do so before Shabbos. Because once Shabbos sets in, he presents a problem. Alma Nochrihu. So from this, we see that he's classified as a non-Jew. The Ho Anad, but have we not learned in our Mishnah, Ad Shelo Yotzi Tanan? Namely, that as long as he, the tzeduki, hasn't carried anything out of his house, and he had been mevatel, his domain, his holding in the chotzer and the movui to us. So if we preempt him and carry things out, so then we are kone, we're kone the movui, and his bittul will be effective. So by saying this, we're not classifying him as a nochri. The Gemara says, Ema, rather restate the Mishnah as such. Ad shelo yetzei hayom quickly take care of your Shabbos needs before Shabbos sets in, before Yetzei Hayom means before Friday departs, before, and the departure of Friday obviously is the onset of Shabbos. So in the original Mishnah where it said Ad Shelo Yotzi, it means Ad Shelo Yetzei Hayom, until they do so before Friday leaves. So approach one is suggesting, as we saw, that he is classified as a nochri, and his bittul is of no consequence. It won't be effective. V'boyesema, another response to resolve the two sources, is lo kashya. Kan b'mumer l'chalo shabosus b'tzino, kan b'mumer l'chalo shabosus b'farhesya. The tzeduki might be someone who violates Shabbos in tzino, but tzino means in private. Or he might be someone who violates it, the Shabbos, in public. So it depends. The Mishnah from on Samach Aleph from the base, which was mashma that his bittul is effective, that's a reference to someone who is mechalel Shabbos. He violates Shabbos only in private. In other words, he has a sense of the honor of Shabbos, and he wouldn't violate it in public. Therefore, his bittul is effective. In other words, his association with us and with Shabbos has significance. However, if he is so brazen as to mechalel Shabbos, to violate Shabbos even in public, it shows that he's totally disconnected from Shabbos, and his motions or his expressions vis-a-vis Shabbos are meaningless, and therefore his bittul reshus would have no significance. The Gemara continues, Keman az lo ha desanyo, like whom would the following source be? Like whom would it be? Like according to whose opinion would the following be taught? Now, we have brackets, and the brackets indicates that, just glancing at the note on the side where you see the star, Achrea sogram ofia loshan hamasukon, after the brackets, we'll find the accurate language of the source. So, if we skip to the point right after the brackets, the source really says, Mumar Begilui Ponim Eino Yochol Levatel Rishus. Someone who is a Mumar, who is a renegade or a rebel with regard to Halacha, and he does so, Begilui Ponim means in public, he cannot be Mevatel Rishus. So who would say that? So the Gemara answers, Keman Ke Rebbe Yehuda. That would be like Shitas Rebbe Yehuda. And that, of course, is, as we just saw in the resolution, number two of the two sources. Rashi points out, according to Rabbi Meir, a mumer l'chal Shabbos b'farhesya could be mevatel. So it's only according to Rabbi Huda that someone who is l'chal Shabbos b'farhesya cannot be mevatel. Let's go over now the bracketed section. We're asking, like whom does this source go, which says mumar the gilui ponim hare ze eino mevatel rishus. Now, a gilui ponim is a reference to someone who is brazen. So the Gemara asks, gilui ponim mumar have, someone who is a megale ponim, he is a mumar. Or let's restate this. Gilui ponim mumar have. Just because someone is gilui ponim is someone who is brazen, he is necessarily a rebel? Not so. There are people that are brazen, that are bold in the way they conduct themselves. That doesn't automatically make them a rebel. Ela mumar bigilui ponim. Eino yochol levatel rishus. Rather, the pshat is, the explanation of this source is that someone who is a rebel in a brazen fashion, meaning he's a rebel in a public fashion, he cannot be mevatel rishus, and that is in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. We continue in the Gemara. Hahu gavra denofak bechumrasa de medusha. There is someone that walked out on Shabbos, and there are two pshatim on what chumrasa de medusha is. The first pshat is a signet ring. This is a type of thing that a person should not wear on Shabbos while walking outside. And there's another pshat that it's a reference to a type of knot containing fragrances. And this is also something that a person should not walk out with on Shabbos. It's not considered decorative, it's considered a burden. So there was a person who walked out on Shabbos with this Chumash de Medusha. Came on the Chazi le Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya, Kasia, when he noticed Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya, so this man covered it up. In other words, he was embarrassed. Omar, Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya said, Kagoin Zeh, someone like this, that's Mechal Shabbos, Bitsina, he's Mechal Shabbos, but not in an open fashion. So someone like that is Mevatel Rishus L'Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda's standard, he could be Mevatel Rishus. In other words, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, this person could be Mevatel Rishus. Omar Rav Huna. Here we're going to be exposed to Shitas Rav Huna, and this statement of Rav Huna will preoccupy the Gemara till the Mishnah on Omid Beis. Omar Rav Huna. Actually, before we learn Rav Huna, let's just glance at the side where we have our subtopic heading, because we're continuing in the realm of the Mumar. Ezu Mumar, number one, Lechoshev Mumar Lechol Mili, and number two, Shelo Yochol Levatel Rishus. What is, how do we classify, how do we judge someone as a Mumar regarding all matters, or as with regard to the ability to be Mavatel Rishus? After we see Rav Huna's statement, we'll see some double underlines, and under the Mivneh heading, we note the double underlines highlight E Karebi Meir or E Karabonon. These are Nisayon Levara Kamis Sover Buddha. We're going to attempt to find out who does Rav Huna hold like by way of Tanoim. Rav Huna being an Amora, we want to know what the basis for his comment is as far as Tanoim. So the Gemara, Omar Rav Huna, Ezu Yisrael Mumar. Who is a Yisrael Mumar, a rebellious Jew, L'chol Mili, meaning that we would see, based on some type of behavior pattern, we would call him a Mumar, a rebel with regard to all matters. So, the Rav Huna says, Zeh HaMechalel Shabbosus B'Farhesya. That is someone that is brazen enough to violate Shabbos in public. Omar Le Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman turns to Rav Huna and says, come on, based on whom do you say what you say? Now, this is in effect a long question. It takes us to the top line of Omid Beis. And there's reference made to Shitos of Tanoim that are found in Maseches Bechoros. So the Gemara says, I Karebi Meir, the Omar Choshud L'Dover Echot Choshud L'Chol Atera Kula. If Rav Huna is subscribing to Rabbi Meir's approach, well, Rabbi Meir says someone who is suspect on one matter is considered suspect with regard to all other matters of the Torah. Well, then afilu be'echad mikol isurim shebetorah nami, even if he is a violator or is suspect on any other isur as well, not just Shabbos, and yet Rav Huna emphasized Shabbos, a Shabbos violator. E Karabonan, if Rav Huna is within the approach of the Rabbonan, Ho Amri, but they have said, Choshed L'Dav Re'echad, Lo Havi Choshed L'Chol HaTorah Kula, Ad, at the top of Omid Beis, Ad Dehavei Mumar L'Avodas Kechovim, that a person is not considered, just because he is suspect in one area, necessarily suspect as a violator in all areas, unless the area of a violation is in the realm of idolatry. If someone is a violator of idolatry, then we can certainly establish that he would violate anything else in the Torah as well. This topic has broad ramifications. Namely, if you see someone who is lax in the area, let's say, of the laws of kashrus, so that would be considered one area of the Torah. So you couldn't then rely on him for all other areas of Torah where you need to rely on the individual. So if Rav Huna is based on the Shita of the Rabbonon, so the fact that he's a Shabbos violator wouldn't cast a doubt on relying on him with regard to other areas of Halacha. The Gemara answers, and here we have a diamond, in this case, and the number two as well. You can see the diamond is split between two lines. These are answers. Tamazbir, like whom Rav Huna follows. So Omar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, the din of Rav Huna that said that if someone is a if he's Mechal Shavsar Befarhesya, he is considered a Mumar. This is only within the realm of Litain Rishus Ulevatel Rishus Uchidisanya, as we will see. So that we're not dealing with a general topic whatsoever, but rather we're dealing with the case of somebody who did not participate in an Eruv, and his lack of participation will result in a restriction on all the other members of the courtyard or the alleyway. The general solution for that is, when you're dealing with Jews, he is the one who didn't participate, or let's just say in that situation, there is renouncement of ownership of the, we'll call it the problematic individual. The Gemara. Uchidisanya. And as is taught in the following source, in other words, a connection between a mumar l'chal Shabbos v'farhesya and his ability to be mevatel or lack thereof. Yisrael mumar mishamer shavato b'shuk mevatel rishus. A Yisrael, a Jew who is a rebel, in other words, he is a violator. However, he will not violate Shabbos in public. He's mishamer shavato b'shuk, means in public he will create the impression that he is a Sabbath observer. So he is eligible or capable of being Mevatel Rishus, was we will accept his renouncement of his domain. She'enu Meshamer Shabbato B'Shukenu Mevatel Rishus. Someone who is brazen enough to violate Shabbos in public, we don't accept his Bitol Rishus. Mitnei Sha'amru, as they have said, Yisrael Notel Rishus V'Nosein Rishus. A Yisrael can receive the renouncement of others and can renounce to others. Ubenochri, but when you're dealing with a Gentile, ad shiaskir, until there is a rental of his domain. In other words, until the Jews rent from the Nochri his domain. Ketzad. Now this Ketzad goes back to explain the case of the Yisroel. Ketzad, Omer lo, what is Bittel? How did you accomplish Bittel? If he says, Rishusi kenuya loch, Rishusi mevutelis loch. If he says that my domain, that which I hold is konui unto you, is transacted to you, or is bevutalis renounced unto you, kona, it works, it takes effect, the ein tzorech lizkos. There is no need for any further transaction gesture, which is often associated with what we call a kinyan sudar, a exchange of a cloth, which is a gesture showing the transfer of ownership. Well, that's not necessary here. So, what have we accomplished so far? We had a statement of Rav Huna, who dealt with what is a mumar, and he said that is someone who is mechal Shabbos and Parhesio. Rav Huna was concerned with who is the kind of person that won't be able to renounce his rishus in the case of a chotzer, where he didn't make an eruv. We continue in the Gemara. Approach number two to explain Rav Huna. Rav Ashi Omar. Hi, Tanahu. In other words, that which Rav Huna said, that a mumar is someone who's mechal Shabbos v'Esya, is in conformity to the following Tanaic source. The Chamira Ole Shabbos Kavod Zora, who views Shabbos as with the same level of severity as idolatry. We should note that Rav Ashi is, in effect, a long answer, and that is marked accordingly. This takes you to the Mishnah. So Rav Ashi cites a Tana that elevates Shabbos to the level of severity of Avodah Zarah, and we already saw that we saw a shita, like that, namely of the Rabbanan, that said one who is choshed on Avodah Zarah, so he is choshed l'chol ha'Torah kula. This Tana adds not only Avodah Zarah, but Shabbos as well. Kedisanya. Now we have a Tanaic source, and as we said, we have a long answer, so it takes all of this Gemara to develop the point, so bear with it. We have a source. This source deals with the bringing of sacrifices. The issue is, from whom do we accept sacrifices? So we have sacrifices brought by Jews, sacrifices that are accepted from Gentiles. And the pasuk says, Odom ki yakriv mikem. The word mikem is a minimizing expression. It's an exclusionary expression. Mikem means from you, but not from all of you. So the drosha of this pasuk is, as we say, mikem velo kulchem. Only from some of you will we accept sacrifices, but not from all of you. Prat lemumar, with the exception of the rebel. In other words, the Torah violator, we won't accept sacrifices from him. Mikem, another point, bochem chilapti v'lo b'umos, means amongst Jews, we make a distinction, but not amongst Gentiles. We have an interesting philosophical point here, or from the Jewish standpoint, when it comes to the Gentiles, we accept from all of them. We don't make any distinctions between Gentiles. We accept from all of them sacrifices. However, when it comes to Jews, we apply a more restrictive standard, if you will, and not accept from all Jews. The pasuk says, min habehema, lahavi, this comes to include, b'nei odom hadoimin lebehema, to include people that behave like animals. Rashi says, Rishoyim. An animal is not someone, not an entity that recognizes its creator. Mikan amru mekablin korbonus mipoishi Yisrael, kidei shiachsu b'tshuva. Chutz min amumor v'amenasechem l'chal shabbos v'hetzia. So this teaches us that we accept sacrifices from poishi Yisrael, from sinners, and our acceptance of sacrifices will serve as a, we don't reject them so as to motivate them to repent. In other words, if we reject them, so they're not going to have any interest in coming back into the fold. So we'll overlook his behavior and accept sacrifices. Except for these characters, the Mumar, Menasechian is one who is engaged in idolatry. It's someone who pours wine to an idol, which is a form of idol worship, and a Shabbos violator in public. We just read a source. This source is thwart with contradictions. Hagufa kashya. The source, as it is, appears to be inherently contradictory. Amris, you said on the one hand, mikem v'lo kulchem, we accept sacrifices from some of you, but not from all of you, lahotzi es hamumar, to the exclusion of the mumar, the rebel, from whom we will not accept sacrifices. V'hodartoni, and then you said in the same source, mekablin korbonus mipoishi Yisrael, we will accept sacrifices from sinners. Ostensibly, a sinner is a mumar. Isn't that a contradiction? Oh, lo kashya, no, this isn't a problem. Reisha b'mumar l'chol ha'Torah kula. The reisha, the opening statement from which we said we exclude the mumar, he is someone who is a rebel with regard to all of the Torah. The mitziyasa, the middle quote, is b'mumar l'dovar echad. He is someone who is a rebel, a non-acceptor, a violator of one area of halacha. From them, we will accept sacrifices. Let's continue. Amos Seifa, then state the further comment in the source. The end of the source. Chutz min amumor v'amenasech yayin. We won't accept sacrifices from the mumor nor the menasech yayin. Wahai mumor hechidomi. The mumor featured over here, what is he? E mumor l'chol ha'Torah. If he is a mumor, he's a rebel with regard to all of the Torah. Hainu reishah. That was already said in the reishah. The Seifa is telling me I don't accept from the mumar. Well, if it's a mumar l'chol ha'Torah kulu, we already said that in the reisha, we do not accept sacrifices from him. E l'davar echad, if he is a mumar only with regard to one area of halacha, and here at the Seifa you're telling me we don't accept from him, kashya mitziyasa, this will run against that which we saw in the middle section of the source, which says we will accept from a mumar l'davar echad. So how are we to make sense of this Seifa? Elo lav hochi komar. And here we come to the crescendo, the main point. Hochi komar, thusly, the source is teaching. chutz, we won't accept sacrifices min hamumor lenaseich ulechalel shabosus befarhesya. We won't accept sacrifice from a mumor, not as if the mumor and the menasechen are two separate categories, but rather he is a mumor with regard to nisuch, which means he is a violator of idolatry, because menasechen has to do with idol worship, or someone who is a Shabbos violator. So you see in this source, of Shabbos, we say Shabbos violator in public, we will not accept sacrifices from those people. Almo avodizor v'Shabbos ki adodi ninu. So we see from here that this Tana places Shabbos on the same level as idolatry with regard to how we view them, and this is proof then to that which Rav Ashi had pointed out, that there is a Tana that places Shabbos on the same level as Avodah Zorah. Hence Rav Huna, who said who is a mumar, Rav Huna in fact is referring to who is a mumar in general, l'chola Torah kula, it is someone that violates Shabbos in public. And Rav Huna is based on this Tana that equates a public Shabbos violator with someone who engages in idolatry. The Mishnah. And before we learn the Mishnah, we glance at the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading, where we combine the topic heading and the structural note in one. You will see double underlining used in the Mishnah. Shochach Echad, or Shnayim Velo Erev, where either one person or two people forget to contribute to an Eruv. And of course, what happens? What are the dinim? The Mishnah. Anshe Chotzer, She Shochach Echad Mehem Velo Erev. Members of a courtyard where one of them forgot to contribute to the Eruv, Shabbos now set in, and he was mevatel his Rishus. Now, Rashi explains in detail what happened here. Now, if we say Rashi's explanation, you have to realize that the Gemara itself doesn't know how to explain the Mishnah at this point until it goes through stages of clarification. So maybe we'll just leave this without the detailed explanation. All it refers to someone who didn't contribute to an Eruv, and there is a subsequent renouncement on his part. So the result is, his house, the person who had forgot and was then mevatel, so his house is a restricted area. Namely, things cannot be carried from his house to the courtyard or vice versa, and this prohibition applies to the homeowner and the other members of the chotzer as well. Vishelohem, their houses, the other people who did contribute to the Eruv, mutorin, loy velohem, their houses are allowed for him and for the other members of the chotzer. Now another scenario, nosnu loy rishusan, the other members renounced their ownership to him, to the one who didn't make an Eruv. Hu muter vehein asurin. He now is considered the sole owner. He can carry from his house to the chotzer, and they cannot. Hoyu shnayim. There were two that did not contribute to the Eruv, and the other members of the chotzer were mevatel their ownership to these two guys. Oisrin ze al ze. They pose a restriction one on the other. In other words, the fact that the others renounced to two people doesn't solve the problem, doesn't help anybody. And there are rules here. She'echod noisein rishus v'notin rishus. When you're dealing with a single person who didn't contribute, he can renounce his rishus to others, and he can accept the renouncement from the others to him, being that he is a single individual, single entity, and therefore we create it when the others are mevatel to him, when they renounce to him, that is a single ownership. And when you have a single ownership, so then we have room for allowing the carrying of things in and out of the house. Shnayim, however, when you have two people, they can renounce their holding to the others that had made an Eruv. However, two cannot receive, be the receivers of a renouncement. Of course, these two are the two that had not made an Eruv. From when, at what point in time does renouncement take place? It must be done on Friday before Shabbos sets in. It takes place even after Shabbos set in. Mi shenosan reshuso v'hotzi, someone who had renounced his ownership and then carried things out into the courtyard, which he should not have done. Bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, hare ze oser, divrei Rebbe Meir. Whether he did so unwittingly or deliberately, he imposes through his carrying, which would appear to be a reneging of his bittul, of his renouncement, and thereby imposes restriction on everybody. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'mezid oser b'shogeg eino oser. Rabbi Yehuda says that only if he did so knowingly does he impose restriction, but if he did so by mistake, it doesn't undo his original renouncement. This section of the Mishnah we have already dealt with at length in our previous shiur. We now turn to the Gemara, but before we do so, let's just note under our Mivneh heading on the side the letters that you see here, Aleph and Beis, Osios Mitu'amos LaMishnah. These letters correspond to letters that appeared in the Mishnah. We also have a star on the side of the Gemara text, the right-hand side of the Gemara text, that you can use to align that which we see here to that which we saw earlier. So here we have a quote, Beiso Huda Oser, and it's a quote, but it's really an inference from that which we saw in the Mishnah. So in the Mishnah we had seen that if someone forgot to contribute to the Eruv, and he was Mevatel his domain to them, so the Mishnah says that his house is off limits, vis-a-vis carrying things from his house to the Chotzer. And now we want to infer, Beiso Huda Oser, Ho Chatzero Sharia. His house is that which is restricted, but the domain he had in the Chotzer is allowed. And that, what's the practical application of that? That would mean that the other members of the Chotzer can carry in and out of their houses to the Chotzer. So that the Mishnah would suggest that the only thing that's off limits is this individual's house. Heichi domi. Ida batil, if he had renounced, his possession, so beiso amai oser. Why is his house off limits? It said in the Mishnah that someone who had forgotten to contribute to the Eruv, so it said in the Mishnah that his house is off limits not only to him but to the others as well. Now if the person had renounced his ownership, so why is his house off limits? If he had not done any renouncement, chatzero amai sharia, so then why is the chotzer, it says, the Gemara says, his chotzer means his holding in the chotzer, why does that not pose a problem for the others? After all, what did the Mishnah tell us? The Mishnah says that his house is that which is off limits, but as far as their houses, they can carry from their houses into the chotzer. But if this person did not do any bittul, so you have a person who didn't contribute to an Erev that has a portion of the chotzer is part of his rights, so does he not pose a restriction on all the others with regard to the use of the chotzer as well? Hocha b'mayaskin, and the Gemara answers, what is the Mishnah talking about? Kegoin shebitel rishus chatzero velo bitel rishus beiso. he had renounced his holding in the courtyard, but not renounced his holding on with regard to his house. The Kosavri Rabbonon and the Rabbonon of this Mishnah are of the opinion, Hamavatel Rishus Chatzero, Rishus Beiso Lo Bitel. A person who renounces his holding in the chotzer does not renounce his holding on his house. The dayarinish bebayis below chotzer, a person is willing to live in a house without a courtyard. Using the star at the side, you can align this with the star we saw earlier, and you'll see where this quote comes from. V'shelohen muter lo v'lohen. V'shelohen means their houses are allowed for all the parties, even the person who had not contributed to the Eruv. My taima, why is the house mutter even for him? Why are their houses mutter even for him? Tehave oreach legabayu. He is like a visitor. He's like an outsider. And an oreach, someone who is your visitor on Shabbos, is allowed to carry from your house to the courtyard. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Dahavi oreach legabayu, kevon de mibeso lo mapik. Since he cannot carry out from his house, afalgav de mishtamish bechotzer, even though he can use the chotzer, lo mahadu mishka rushu sehu. He is not considered someone who takes back his domain. Elo kishar orchim, but rather he is like just any other guest. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a little arrow here. It can be aligned with the arrow above, and you can see where this quote comes from. Nosnu loy rishuson hu muter vehein asurin. If the other members of the chotzer who had made an eruv renounce their ownership in favor of this person who had not made the eruv, hu muter vehein asurin. He is allowed, and they are restricted. Now, when we say they are restricted, even it means including from his house to the chotzer. That's what Rashi points out. The Rashi on this point says, "V'hein asurin afilu mibeso lechotzer, even from his house to the chotzer." De kevon de mishtamshi bechotzer. If they were to use the chotzer and carry from his house to the chotzer, afagav delav mibayas didhu mapki, even if it's not from their own houses to the chotzer, havilei mishkal reshusa, it's tantamount to their taking back that which they renounced. The chamisha legabi chad lo domul orchin, to say that five people are like visitors with regard to one, that five are visiting one, that's unlikely. That's not similar to standard visitations, if you will, and therefore they cannot carry from his house. They're not like visitors by him, because you wouldn't have five people visiting one person, and therefore if they were to carry from his house into the chotzer, that would be in effect a reneging of their renouncement. Rashi also points out that the number five is not specifically five, but it's a reference to multiple individuals. So now the Gemara. We should point out that what we learned in Rashi is already based on that which the Gemara will say very shortly. So after the Mishnah teaches that if the multiple renounced their rishus to the individual, the individual can carry in and out of his house to the chotzer, but they cannot. They cannot carry from his house to the chotzer. The Gemara asks, "V'nevi inu legabei ki orchin?" Why not consider the multiple dwellers with regard to the individual unto whom they renounced like guests, and allow carrying from his house to the chotzer? The Gemara answers, "We can't view them as guests. Chad legabi chamisha avi oreach. When you have one who renounced his holding to the others, to five, we can say he is like their guest, and therefore he can carry from their houses to the courtyard. However, chamisha legabi chad lo havi oreach. But five with respect to one, that all five should be considered like guests by one, that is not normal, and we wouldn't therefore classify them as guests. The Gemara asks a question. Now, this question is based on an assumption. It's said in the Mishnah, Nosnu Lo Reshusan. This appears to be a continuation of the Reisha. The Reisha spoke about Nosa, he spoke about someone giving his Reshus to them. So you have the you have one being Mevatel to the multiple, to the multitude. And then you have the multitude being Mevatel to the individual. So it sounds like after the individual renounced ownership to them, then later that day, the multiple were then Mevatel their Reshus to the individual. So if you learn the Mishnah like that, then Shamis Mino, should we conclude from here, Mevatlin v'choizun mevatlin? This, by the way, was the subject of our previous shiur, and we saw a machloikis regarding this topic of mevatlin v'choizun mevatlin. So should we use this Mishnah as a proof to support the opinion that says mevatlin v'choizun mevatlin, that there could be a two-way bittul taking place? The Gemara says, Hochi, komar, no, he says, don't conclude that from our Mishnah. And in fact, the Mishnah is not to be read as we suggested a moment before, namely, the what we have by way of our markings, where we see a house number two in the Mishnah, that is not a continuation following from case number one drawn in the house number one. But rather, house number two is a separate case. Hochi ko'omar, nosnu loy reshuson me'ikora. If you have the multiples, the multiple dwellers renouncing their reshus to an individual, to the one who had not contributed, then hu muter vehein asurim. Again, two separate cases, but not as if the case that which we call number two is a continuation of case number one. Hoyu shnayim, if renouncement was made to two people, oisrin ze al ze. So and the Mishnah said, the fact that the other dwellers renounced to them, it doesn't create any permission or of use of the chotzer. The Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. Imagine you had just two people living in the chotzer that had not made an eruv. So they would aser one on the other. So is that not what we have over here? So you have two people, after they renounce their domain, fine, so consider them out of the picture. But you're still left with two people that have not made an eruv with one another. So it's obvious. Why is the Mishnah teaching that which is obvious? Loi tzricha, no, I need the Mishnah, the hoder chad minayu botu le lechavrei. That after the other members have been mevatel to these two, so one of the two that remained was then mevatel what he had to his friend, leaving one alone a possessor. So that's the case the Mishnah is dealing with. That after they were mevatel to the two, the one of them was mevatel to the other, to his friend. Mahu detemo lishtri, I would have thought, but that is effective. That then I have created a single ownership. Kamash Malon, the Mishnah teaches us the kevon de beidna de botil lo havele sharyusa b'hai chotzer, since at the time of the initial renouncement, we didn't accomplish sharyusa means allowance, permission, permissibility. Therefore, the subsequent renouncement is ineffective. Let's take a look at Rashi. Kamash Malon de lo domi. This is not similar to a case of renouncement to one individual. The ilu hasam, in the case of you have multiple people renouncing to one individual, kol chad v'chad mevatel lei rishusei, each one is being mevatel his rishus to that one individual. Aval hocha, kevon d'shar b'nei chotzer, lav l'hai, the payish l'chudei batli, ela l'chavayu. But in this case, when the initial renouncement took place, they didn't renounce their holding to this last person alone. They had renounced their holding to two people. Ki hoder chad umevatel idoch, when one of the two remaining people there turns around and renounces to the final person, reshusa didei motzi livtuli, he can renounce that which he is in possession of. However, reshusa daakni le chavrei lo motzi livtuli, the reshus that was bestowed upon his friend, he cannot be mevatel. Since at the time of the initial renouncement of their reshus to these two fellows, the person right now who is being mevatel, he didn't achieve allowance permission at the point of the initial bittul, mishum da'asri adodi, because at that point the two that remained. Imposed restriction one on the other. Ishtakach the bittul de kamoi lo ahani. It shows us that the initial bittul was really ineffective. The chihoder mevatel hai, when one of the two remaining people is mevatel to his friend, lo motzi laknuye reshusa ditu, he can't transfer through renouncement their rishus, the hal lo kanye, he didn't really acquire it at the outset. In other words, you can't transfer to someone something that you yourself don't really own. So that is the chiddush of the Mishnah. We continue. She'echod noisein rishus. The Mishnah had continued to tell us this rule. This you can see in the Mishnah where we have diamonds, Aleph and Beis. So it says she'echod nosein reshus, that one, an individual, can renounce ownership. Well, hasu lomali, what do I need this point for? E nosein tanino. If it's with regard to an individual as a renouncer, well, that was already taught. Rashi says at the bottom, I nosein tanino v'shelahem muter lo v'lahen. The Mishnah taught that that when one had forgotten to contribute to the Eruv, so his house is Osir, but their house is Mutter to him and to the others. And the Elav de Botilahu, Amai Mishnu, if he hadn't been Mavatil, so why would there be allowance? So the simple pshat in the Mishnah indicates that the individual had been Mavatil. So I see that an individual can be Mavatil. What do I need this expression, this latter expression in the Mishnah? E no tail tanina, and if this part of the Mishnah where we have the diamond bays is coming to tell me that one can absorb the receive based on the renouncement of the multiple, well, that's also taught in the Mishnah. We saw that in the Mishnah itself where we have a house number two marking. It said nosnu lo rishusan, and we saw that that was effective. The Gemara answers, Seifa itzdericholei. I need the Seifa, the continuation of the Mishnah, that spoke about Shnayim Noisnin Rishus. The Mishnah spoke that two people can give over, can renounce their domain in favor to an individual, but others cannot renounce to them. So, ha'anami pshita, well, is this not also obvious? After all, is this not a function of that which we saw before, that the multiple can give to the individual? So this would seem to be redundant, that shnayim noisen rishus. Again, it's another example of the multiple being mevatel. So the Gemara explains, mahu detema, had I not had the Mishnah saying Shnayim Noisin Rishus, I might have thought Ligzar Dilma Osi Livtuli Luhu, that if we allow two to give over their Rishus, it will result in others being Mevatel two individuals. And we should make gzeira, not allowing two to be mevatel rishus in anticipation of the other direction happening where others are mevatel to two individuals. Kamash malon, the Mishnah comes to tell me that we don't make such a gzeira. So just to go over the last point, the Mishnah teaches that toward the end of the Mishnah that two can be mevatel to one. We said, is that not obvious? So the Gemara says, I need to tell you that two can be mevatel to one. So preempt a thought on your part of thinking, let's not allow two to mevatel one in the anticipation of the case of one being mevatel to two. And that is in fact ineffective. So we say, no, two can be mevatel one, that's okay, and we're not worried that you'll come to confuse that with the case of one being mevatel to two. The Ein Neutlin Rishus. We say that the two, after their mevatel rishus to others, that is effective, but two cannot receive the rishus, the bittul of others. And the Gemara asks, Lomali, what do I need this teaching for? What do I need the Mishnah to say, the Ein Neutlin Rishus? Rashi, on the second line from the top, says, the Ein Neutlin Rishus, Lomali, ha tana le, hoyu shnayim, oisrin zelsa. That was already taught, that if there are two people that received the bittul of others, they aser one on the other. So the Gemara says, lo tzricha. I need this point of the Mishnah, the Ein Neutlin Rishus, to tell me, af al gav di amri le kini almanas lahaknois. Even if they were told initially, kini, acquire, on condition that you transfer. Taking a look at Rashi, lo tzricha means I do need the Mishnah, Yesero, the extra expression in the Mishnah of Ein Notlin Rishus, Lashmeinen, to inform us, the Afilu Omru Le Kamoi, even if when the initial bittel to the two took place, the following was said, Kini Amanas Lahaknois, Vehodar Ihu Boti Lechavre, that we are renouncing our Rishus unto you, on condition that you are mevatel them to your friend, so that they would be addressing of the when they are renouncing to two people, they're turning to one of the two and saying we are renouncing to you two guys, but one of you is then expected, we expect you to then mevatel to the one remaining person. Well, that doesn't work. Lo mishteri hai basra, that doesn't work. And the last guy to receive the bittul, to be the recipient of their renouncement, of his friend's renouncement, won't be allowed to carry in and out of the house. You might have thought that he was in effect appointed an agent. Komash malon came into lokona ihu lishturiye. We're taught here from the fact that he did not acquire at the point that when you have the two people, one of those two people, when the initial renouncement took place, he didn't achieve permission. Lo motzi lakviri, he cannot then transfer to his friend. In other words, it will be ineffective. So since at the point of the initial transfer, he did not achieve permission, we don't look at it as a case of shlichus, but rather the result is one of restriction and prohibition. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.